Well, it's that time of year again. Projects are in full swing, and you know what that means. You got to make that trip up to Jacob's Supply. Whether you're a contractor or builder, or you're checking those things off the to-do list around the house, now is the time to visit Jacob's Supply. Guys, listen to some of the crazy good deals they have going on right now. PVC decking for $2.99 a linear foot in 10 different colors. Composite decking for $2.35 a linear foot in 2 colors. Treated decking for 65 cents a linear foot. DuraLife composite rail kits available in select colors starting at $64.99. And don't forget the vinyl rail kits also available in stock. Need the fasteners? They have those too. Hidden or visible, clips or screws. Jacob Supply is located in Temperance, Michigan, but ships many products nationally too. So whether you're in-state or out-of-state, they're just a click or call away. Check them out at www.jacobsupply.com or call them at 734-224-0978. That's 734-224-0978 or click the link in the description of this episode. Jacob Supply, your one-stop shop for products you need at prices you love. Hey guys, you got to join us at the Thank God for Bitcoin 2024 conference in Rocket Town, Nashville, July 24th and 25th. Last year was phenomenal, and this year is going to be even better. G.K. Chesterton once said, "I never discuss anything else except politics and religion. There is nothing else to discuss." Given how secular our current world is, this might sound strange. We can think of many things that don't initially seem political, but whether we recognize it or not, religion and politics define the playing surface and rules that govern our lives and actions. And money is one of the most powerful tools in enacting the wills of both government and God. Although we all use it, few Christians have a rich, biblically grounded, historically informed framework through which to understand what money is, and consequently the effect it necessarily has on how we think about economic issues. Well, that won't fly at this conference. We're talking stewardship, dominion, and the economics of glory with some of the biggest names around. Speakers include Michael Foster, C.R. Wiley, Dr. Ben Merkel, Dr. Glenn Sunshine, Nate Fisher, Jordan Bush, and many, many more. You won't want to miss this lineup. This is one of the most intellectually packed, theologically sound, and all-around good time conferences you can go to this summer. So go to www.tgfb.com. That's Thank God for Bitcoin, www.tgfb.com, and get your tickets today or click on the link in the description of this episode. See you there, guys. Christians, are you tired of just talking about starting a parallel economy and not doing anything about it? The Works-Based Conference is the catalyst you've been waiting for. Join us this June 28th and 29th at the Hilton in downtown Fort Worth, Texas. Engage with leading Christian thinkers like David Bahnsen, C.R. Wiley, Steve Jeffrey, David Reese, and Andrew Krapuschitz. They'll share invaluable insights on how to actively integrate your faith with your professional life in ways that really matter. These leaders are not just thinkers, but doers, shaping a Christian approach to business that makes a real impact. This event is more than speeches. It's a vibrant networking hub for Christian professionals and entrepreneurs eager to create substantial change. It's an opportunity to forge meaningful connections, explore new business opportunities, and collaborate in a faith-driven environment. Don't miss the highlight of our networking opportunities, the exclusive speaker dinner. This is a premier event where you can dine with our speakers and other influential guests, deepening relationships and discussing ideas in an intimate setting. We are also actively seeking partners who are passionate about building a Christian economy. If you're interested in collaborating or sponsoring, we'd love to hear from you. And make sure you join us for beer and psalms for some relaxed fellowship, and let's turn our faith into action together. So reserve your spot now at www.worksbase.com. That's worksbase.com, or click the link in the description of this episode and be part of building a dynamic Christian professional community. Let's move beyond talk, fellas, and start creating the change we want to see. Exploring theology, doctrine, and all of the fascinating subjects in between, broadcasting from an undisclosed location, Dead Men Walking starts now. Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Dead Men Walking Podcast. Thanks for coming along for the ride. Thanks for checking out dmwpodcast.com, leaving us comments, leaving us reviews, checking out the merch site. We appreciate you telling a friend and supporting the show. First and foremost, though, we want to tell you this episode is brought to you by Page 50. Listen, guys, your business, your legacy, don't partner with just anyone. You need people you can trust. Whether you own a business, you're an influencer at your business, maybe you're just in sales and you want to increase your pipeline, you got to get Page 50. Page 50 is a distinctly Christian company, and that means they do things a little bit differently. Page 50 is committed to providing quality marketing services to all of their clients and customers. They're going to help you make the most out of your social media platforms, create content, and elevate your website so you can grow your impressions and reach your goals. They treat each of their clients' account like their own because They're all about building that trust and making it last. From web design to social media management, from consulting to execution, from search engine optimization to grassroots campaigns, it's their desire to help your business tell its story to the widest audience possible. Go visit www.page50.com. That's spelled out, P-A-G-E-F-I-F-T-Y.com, and see how these brothers in the Lord can help your business. Or just click through the link at the bottom of this episode description. Integrity, innovation, results, Page 50. We love the guys over at Page 50. Stuart and those gentlemen. I actually met them at a Fight Laugh Feast conference, which kind of ties in to what we're going to be talking about today. But first and foremost, what we're going to be talking about today was kind of started just because you guys have been listening long enough to know, and I've been talking about what happened here in Michigan over the last election in November 2022. The Democrats here in Michigan took the House, the Senate, and the governorship for the first time in 32 years. Also, there was a referendum on the ballot that went to the public to vote for a constitutional amendment that passed. It was called Proposition 3 among three other propositions on the ballot. And this proposition essentially allowed abortion up to the second of birth. It allowed castration of minors without parental consent. It is the most liberal, most sweeping legislation. Now, it's not a law. It's a constitutional amendment, constitutionally protected in the state constitution for these type of issues. So I wanted to have a guy on that has experience in this in the public sphere, obviously. Has experience with legislative things, politics, government, Christianity, reform theology, things like that. And I couldn't think of anyone better. And, you know, I was scouring the internet, guys, for a bio, and I found this on his LinkedIn, and I just love this bio. It's so cheeky. You could say many things about this gentleman, but I love that it says host of Cross Politics Studio, CEO of Pengo Media and Dropwave, and barbecue and scotch chief taster. Yes, it's Gabe Wrench, a.k.a. The Waterboy. Gabe, how are you, sir?
Hey, Greg, thanks for having me on your show, man.
I love that you're a barbecue and scotch chief taster. Now, is that a self-imposed title?
Very much, yeah. And I, you know, someone's got to do it.
Right, someone has to do it. So I think everyone that listens to this podcast are probably pretty familiar with you, but if you just want to give us a little 60-second bio really quick for any new listeners, introduce yourself.
Yeah, I was born in Texas and raised up in a Christian family. And my mom and dad kind of moved us around a little bit after 97. We ended up in Oregon. And then eventually I went to California, Colorado, and now I'm in Idaho. I came to Moscow, Idaho, which is the town I still live in. I live in now, to go to University of Idaho. And that's where I met my wife. And I now serve as a deacon at King's Cross, also here, which is a plant of Christ Church, Pastor Doug Wilson's church here in town. And I've got three kids and live on a little boutique ranch 3 miles outside of town. And if any of your listeners have been listening to my show this last 6 months, I lost 11 chickens throughout the year to some coyote that kept getting in my chicken coop. And so my last chicken that's still alive is named Katniss because she made it through the Hunger Games, but you know.
She made it through the Hunger Games. So now was it going under? Was it going over? How was that coyote getting in? Was it digging underneath run?
Yeah, I got this old 1950s barn and it's got all sorts of holes in it. Mm. So every time I patch up another hole, there's another hole. It's another one. I think I might have things under control now, but there's a lot of trial and error. 11 chickens.
Yeah. Well, hey, got to get those organic eggs. They're $8, $9 a dozen in the store right now. So you're making your money just on the eggs. So the reason why I wanted to have you on, just because I've had a lot of people reach out to me in Michigan. I always laugh. I need to change the intro. It says undisclosed location, but we've talked so much now. People probably know exactly where I live, but we're in Michigan. Last week we had on,
my address.
Right? You know. I'm not getting that specific. All right. There are still some crazy people out there, but, last week on the podcast, we had the president of End Abortion Now Ohio on, along with another pastor friend of mine who's working through some legislation in Ohio because the liberals and progressives had said, we want to make a red state, Ohio, the poster child and mimic what Michigan did. So they're working through some abolition legislation and things like that. So I've had a lot of people reach out to me and go, well, what is the Christian response? What should we do? I know a lot of people go right to Romans 13, and we're not going to stay too long on that because, boy, I think your show, my show, and many others talked about that during the COVID era. But I just wanted to get you on and have you talk about What is our response when we have something like a civil government that is not acting according to scripture, meaning a government that brings justice to evildoers and protects the righteous? I think we've seen in the last, especially for the last 30 years, going back farther than that, that the U.S. government doesn't seem to be bringing justice to evildoers or protecting the righteous. It looks like they've kind of flipped that a little bit. So first and foremost, just to set the foundation in this discussion, I kind of wanted to know what is the Christian to do? What is your, because, and the reason why I'm asking this is because you look at what you guys are doing out there in Idaho. You're, I think you're a pretty conservative state, but in a pretty liberal area, if I remember correctly. Yeah. And you guys are kind of the beacon of hope in Moscow. And a lot of people are looking nationally, looking to you guys on how you've modeled through education and in church and things like that. So is it something similar? Is it different in every state and every municipality? And where do we start, do you think?
Yeah. Well, you know, like you alluded to, I live in Moscow, Idaho. Latah County is my county. And I'm in this blue dot in a red state. There's only, I think, two blue dots in our state, and everything else is red. And so there's been a lot of clashing for the last 25 years. I've been here since 2002. And I mean, there's not barely a year goes by where we don't have some sort of fight with our local city or the liberals in town or some sort of either social or political fight in the last 23 years since I've been here. So it's been quite an interesting climate that I think the nation's now starting to really have. So what happened to us locally for the last 20, 25 years is now starting to happen nationally. In terms of, I think, building community, you know, oftentimes we, especially conservatives, we always look to the big races to change our lives, the big voting races to change our lives. So we look to, oh, we need a better governor or we need a better president. And really what you need is a better sheriff. Really what you need is a better county commissioner. So we don't pay attention to the local elections. And we generally maybe only really show up to the state elections or the national elections. And so that's caused a lot of problems. Even your local library board is now a battleground. We'll run for your local library election. A lot of those elections are actually voted into to run your local libraries. And in fact, we got one here in May that I'm working with. I'll be releasing some emails about this soon. But we have election here in May for our local library board. So there's a lot of local ways to easily get involved, and you always want to start with what you can have an impact on, a reasonable impact on, and not what. And not like your governor's race where your impact is very, very, very thin. You're going to have a lot greater impact, a lot bigger impact locally. Secondly, Jeremiah, number of prophets say, you know, you need to be doing good to your city. And the way you do good to your city is Jeremiah 30, Jeremiah 29, Jeremiah 30, where it says, you know, God's sending Israel into Babylon. He said, I want you to go there and I want you to do good in that city. And the way you're going to do good in that city is have kids, is build a family in exile. Yeah. And so I would really camp out on that and say, you know, start with building a faithful family because God's making it really easy in your town. The liberals are not having kids. And if they do have kids, they kill them. And then if those, whatever kids kind of get through the liberal gauntlet and actually live and come outside the mother's womb, they are not being discipled well. They're growing up to hate God. They're growing up to hate their culture. They're growing up to hate their families, and they're growing up to be very violent kids. So you have an opportunity just from a familial level to really build and have an impact in the next generation. My goal, I try to think in terms of 40 years. What can I accomplish in one generation? So I'm 43 years old now. So what can I accomplish in the next 40 years? And so my goal in the next 40 years is to do my best to turn Idaho into a beacon of light. And that starts with my kids, and that starts with my county. And now by the grace of God, I have an opportunity to impact Idaho beyond my county because of some of my work in politics. And so I have the ability, I can do a little bigger impact on the state level things. Also. And so I have some influence and impact there. And so over the next 40 years, I would like my kids to be able to reasonably buy a house in Idaho. The bar is low. I want to see the economy continue to have an impact. And so that's, start with where you can have an impact. And, you know, of course that starts with your family, your job, and then your community. and then kind of assess the situation from there. But I can't tell you, if you look at the voting statistics, probably in your county, in your state, I know in our county alone. So I'm in, like I said, I'm in this liberal county. Well, if the conservatives, if 60%, 65% of conservatives would actually get out and vote, we would not have a liberal mayor right now.
Right.
Like, I live in a liberal county, and we could actually not have a liberal mayor if conservatives actually would just engage. And so there's a real apathy in the conservative movement. And to show up, like I said, at presidential elections or governor elections, and that's about it. And then you lose your city, you lose your county, you lose your library board, you lose your local public school board. And then here we are. And we're kind of, and then we turn into complainers. So get involved. And it doesn't take much to know what's going on in your county and your community, as you know, Greg.
Yeah. So you actually perfectly led me into my next question, because when you were talking, I'm thinking, and I'm sure most of the listeners know this, because your case was national news, and I'm sure you're tired of talking about it, but I look at someone like you who was arrested while singing in public, put through a, two and a half year court battle. You won, by the way, not only won, but soundly won. I mean, you really spanked the local municipality. They didn't even know how to enforce or what they were enforcing when it came to social distancing through their ordinance or through what their state constitution said. You get really no punitive damages, no money. You're out 2 years of your life. You sat a night in jail. I look at you and I go, how are you not apathetic towards the system? I have so many Christians that come to me and they just go, they're apathetic, meaning I can't focus on it. I can't care. I got a homeschool. I got, you know, a business to run. I've got, you know, family things to do. And here now I'm supposed to pay attention to politics and be involved in that. And whatever, I'm just going to hole up and try to make a nice little life for me and my family and leave it to the rest of the people. What do you say to them? And not everyone has to be involved in politics. I don't think that's what we're saying here, but not to just become apathetic to the secular world in general as believers.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Covenant Real Estate. And why not? It's my podcast and my real estate company. But seriously, I've absolutely enjoyed helping clients buy, sell, and invest in real estate over the last 12 years. My brokerage serves clients in Michigan and Ohio, with more states coming soon. When I started this brokerage, I wanted to ensure that my expertise and knowledge would serve every one of my clients. I take my fiduciary responsibility to my clients very seriously. That's why I named it Covenant Real Estate. Not only is a covenant a contract in the legal sense, but it's also a solemn promise from myself to each of my clients. I will do my absolute best to serve you. It's also pretty cool that our name has some theological implications as well, which is a great conversation starter. And here's the best part. My agents and I have extensive experience in helping people buy and sell residential homes, buy and sell commercial properties, as well as investing in real estate and selling and purchasing recreational and vacant land. Covenant Real Estate can help you with all of your real estate needs, and I would love the opportunity to earn your business. So if you have real estate needs in Michigan or Ohio, call me at 734-731-GREG. That's 734-731-GREG. Or click on the link in the description of this podcast episode you're listening to right now. Remember, Covenant Real Estate, confidence from contract to close.
Yeah, I think, I mean, one of the simple answers to this is it only takes 15 minutes a year to get involved in politics. If you're a family, you're in the middle of raising kids, you're in the middle of busy life, work, you know, all that is going on. Well, it only takes 15 minutes. It takes, you know, 3 minutes to call a friend who knows what's going on, who to vote for, ask them why you're voting for them. Is this, you know, ask them, you know, is this a principled politician that I should be voting for, a Christian, all that stuff. That takes 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes, and Google, whatever. Always good to call someone who knows the candidate, so you kind of secondhand account of that politician versus even internet. And then it takes you, what, 10 minutes to go to the voting polls? I don't know. Some counties it'll take a little longer to stand in lines or whatever, but it really doesn't take that long to get out and vote and to have an impact. And then, you know, take another 20 minutes, 10 minutes or whatever to figure out all the races that are going on the next year and just map them out on your calendar. You know, we got a library race in May coming up right now. And then next November, we got another race, you know, just map out those dates and just know you got to pay attention for 10 minutes around those dates and then you're fine. I mean, a little bit of engagement is going to go a long ways.
Yeah. So it sounds like it's priority. When I've talked to a lot of people, it sounds like it's very low priority. And one, they don't think they could make a difference or will make a difference. Two, sometimes I get pushback and they go, I don't really see a biblical mandate for holding civil government's feet to the fire to a biblical standard. I think you and I would disagree. Maybe expand on that a little bit. What if you have someone that comes to you and says, you know, like I said, head in the sand, I just want to make sure that I have my 2 weeks of vacation, my family's safe, and I'm self-sufficient. All good things, by the way, all biblical things. But, you know, I'll let someone else do that. Or I don't think that we should even be out there running for local offices and protesting and activism, if you will, whatever that form looks like. I know it's a very general word. But what would you say to a Christian that says, yeah, I don't see a biblical mandate for that? Would you disagree? I think you would. And why?
Yeah. First off, that reasoning is not working out for us really well right now. Now we got transgender library drag hour. Secondly,
yeah,
it's really weird that we apply that logic to the government, but we would not apply that logic to the family government. If a pagan father was telling his kid to go steal from the local Walmart or whatever, and we saw it all going down, we would step in. In fact, you have a duty to step in.
Yeah.
And and the kid shouldn't respond to his dad and his dad say, you need to submit. I'm your higher authority. That's the odd thing about all this in Romans. The only verse you really hear evangelicals start to push is verse 5. You need to submit to the government. That's it. So Romans chapter 13, verse 5 is really the only verse that's ever appealed to in all this. You need to submit to the government. But we don't apply that to fatherhood. We don't apply that to the church. If the church is raping if the Catholic priests are raping its kids, we don't say, the Catholic priest can't say, hey, you need to submit. Well, in the same way, right, if the civil government is politically raping and pillaging its citizens, which it is,
yeah,
we don't blindly submit. And Romans 13 yeah is very clear that you know, the government's job is to do good. Well, what is that standard? What is the definition of good? Who sets the standard of good? Well, it's God, not the government. And so the government's yeah supposed to do good to those who are doing good and do evil to those who are doing evil. And so that line of reasoning is really broken because we don't apply it to any other place in our life. If your boss at your company tells you to, you know, start siphoning off a little bit of money off the top of the counting spreadsheets, well, that, and the boss says, you need to submit to me. No, we don't just arbitrarily give a totalitarian right authority to any authority in our lives, whether it's your boss at work or your dad at home or your mayor in your city. That kind of logic and reasoning is very flawed and not biblical. And I'll say lastly to this, if a set of laws are going to, you know, run a state or run a country, then what is the best law? God's law.
Yeah.
It's not man's law. Man's law is contradicts. It's hypocritical. Sure. It judges wrongly. You know, so why would I not want God's law to influence our city, our county, our state, or our government? It's the best law.
Yeah. Some of the pushback I get too is someone might tell me, and I've had someone tell me this, well, you know, Paul was writing Romans, or whoever you believe the author of Romans was, I believe it's Paul, you know, under an oppressive Roman government. And they didn't start rioting. They didn't start changing laws. They lived peaceably and peaceably as they could without being, you know, they're burned alive or their throats slit. So why don't we model that? Now, outside, I want to get your perspective on this, but there's also very good examples of Peter. Dr. Joe Boot, who you know very well, you actually introduced us, was talking, I think, about it at the Fight, Laugh, Feast conference in South Dakota about how Peter stands up and says that there's no other name by which you are saved. It was the same inscription on the Roman coin. The Caesar was God, and you were saved by him. And he was very well standing up to the government just as much as he was standing up to the non-believers. Mm-hmm. You know, there's also places where Paul uses his Roman citizenship to his advantage. Excuse me, can you do this to a Roman citizen, or do I have to have a fair trial? And of course, they say, oh, We didn't know you were a Roman citizen. Yeah, you're correct. So there's ways you see Paul using the legal system and his status as a citizen. But I've had people more than what I would think come to me and go, well, they didn't rise up and fight under an oppressive Rome. So why should we defy tyrants under an oppressive United States or European Union or Australia or whatever it is? What would your pushback be on that? I'm just curious.
Oh, there's levels to that.
We're going to solve all the world's problems right here, Gabe.
Yeah. I mean, loving your neighbor, one of the most basic ways to love your neighbor is to not let tyrants push your neighbor around. You know, if you love your city, if you love your county, you know, then stand up for those who are being pushed around. You know, it's really basic in some sense. If you think about how our nation has developed over these years, you know, God's law, the Christian influence, the common law influence on our country and all that, we've coasted off it for so long that a lot of people can build all these assumptions off that coasting. But once that train hits the brick wall, once that coasting stops, once God's law and the Christian influence on our country is totally severed, which is it's almost there. We are walking into a totalitarian regime where literally in California and in the state of Washington just this past year passed legislation that they can take your kids away if you won't let them transition. If the government finds out that you're keeping your kids from sexually, you know, transitioning from a man to a woman to man, whatever it is, and you're the parent that's prohibiting that process, they will confiscate your children. And so, the laws of our land are now finally getting detached to where people, I hope, can clearly see that we need to reclaim our Christian founding, our Christian roots, and reclaim the center of what a Christian society looks like. Because we coasted off it for so long. We took it for granted for so long. And so now we can have some of these arguments that are not intellectually sound or accurate according to the Bible. But because we're coasting on this Christian influence, they can sound reasonable. But once that train hits that brick wall, like it's starting to happen now, all the wheels are falling off that argument as we speak. I don't know if that quite really answers your question.
No, that's good.
The root of it.
No, it's so good because, we're getting to the point of exactly what a depraved heart wants absent of God. Obviously, I believe when this country was founded, and you can go back and read a lot of letters and a lot of literature about the many of the founding fathers saying this is for a moral people by biblical godly standards. I believe God's law does restrain wickedness. And I think once we are off of that standard, of course, we're going to see what man's heart truly wants, which is total depravity and anti-God, the spirit of Antichrist. With that being said, let's finish up this section here with this then. So there's a lot of talk about theonomy, Christian nationalism, and we're not going to get into that whole argument right now. I just wanted to maybe give the listeners maybe a 50,000-foot overview of what your belief is of what would a civil government that is serving Christ or that is establishing Christ's purpose look like? Are we looking at something that was more closer to the U.S. Constitution where we incorporated some general equity and Mosaic law and then tried to also give personal liberty? Are we going back to a more hardcore theonomy where we're looking at kind of the nation of Israel and in every little judicial law? Or are we looking at something different? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. So I'd want to start the conversation here where God has given us three forms of government. He's given us three authorities in our society. Mm. He's given us the family government, the church government, and the state government.
Simple. Yeah.
And so each of those authorities have kind of a direct calling from God. So the family government doesn't get its authority from the state, and it doesn't get its authority from the church. It gets its authority from God. And same for the civil Amen. Government. The civil government doesn't get it, you know. So these governments authoritatively, you know, get their marching orders from the Lord. So I would want to start there. And secondly, related to that, this is where the conversation immediately goes, is, well, what about the whole idea of separation of church and state? I absolutely amen the separation of church and state. I don't amen the separation of Christ and state. I don't amen the separation of God and state. The state reports good. To God. The state doesn't report to the church. The church doesn't report to the state. The church reports to God. So they're vertical authoritative reporting procedures that each of these government institutions have. So with that in mind, then we can kind of start talking about, well, like I said earlier, I believe the best law is God's law. And so I would want God's law to be the foundation of all our laws here in society. And when I say foundation, the Westminster Confession uses the phrase "with good and necessary consequence." So we recognize that we aren't in the liturgical laws of Leviticus anymore. In fact, we recognize that there's laws in Israel that were in context of that time. But I don't want to get rid of that principle. I want to apply that law with good and necessary consequence to us here and now. I don't want to do away with the New Testament. I want to figure out how to apply the Old Testament. Excuse me. I don't want to do away with the Old Testament. I want to figure out how to apply that Old Testament with good and necessary consequence here and now. Lastly, there's two other categorical issues I think that need to be solved here. One is there are three kinds of law, three categorical laws in the Old Testament. You had the liturgical law, the moral law, and the civil law. So liturgical law was done away with in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our final prophet, priest, and king. That's why we he's our final priest. That's why we don't sacrifice anymore. So the liturgical laws are done away with. Very clearly, ended in the New Testament. The moral law still applies today. I'm still called to not commit adultery in my heart. I'm still called to not covet my neighbor's cow. I'm still called
to steal, lie, murder.
So the moral law still apply today, and the criminal law, that civil law still applies today, but with good and necessary consequence. So what do I mean? Let me give you an illustration by that. Paul in I'm drawing a blank. Paul in Corinthians, First Corinthians 9. He says, talking about paying your pastor, paying your elders well, and some of them get double honor. And you don't want to muzzle an ox. You wouldn't muzzle an ox, so don't muzzle your pastor. And so what Paul's doing there, he's actually applying that principle of good and necessary consequence. He's saying that like the Old Testament law says about not muzzling your ox, well, don't do that for your pastor either. So he's taking Old Testament law and applying it in the New Testament with good and necessary consequence. And that's how we should be thinking Christians when we talk about God's law and applying it to our city state context.
And here's the thing, and then we'll end this this section here. I feel like this is a hot button issue, but even me growing up in the 80s, 90s, looking back 50, 60 years into United States history, this was the general consensus of most Christians anyway, how the country should be ran. I look at, like I said, the founding fathers, and they kind of took a general equity approach, right? Like, that's why we have things like building codes and safety things. And, when you go back to that law, so I'm not sure why this is becoming such a hot button issue. Now, we're going to have A.D. Robles on next week, and he's going to break it down for us. And he takes a very certain approach, which I think might be more of a lightning rod. But I'm just surprised that maybe it's because the secular culture is moving so far away from Christ, it feels that much more bizarre. But overall, I would say that's a pretty general idea. But most Christians, whether you're Presbyterian, Baptist, evangelical, it was, oh no, we should be taking Christ's law, that general equity, kind of like you said. Well, you didn't use those words, but in applying it into our criminal and judicial codes. So it always kind of surprises me that this is now such a big issue. But I appreciate those thoughts. Let's wrap this up. Let's move into Fresh 10. I sprung this on you. This is where we ask you 10 fresh questions. You don't know what they are. It's so our listeners can get to know you a little bit more. Obviously, you show your true self on Cross Politic. On every episode, which I absolutely love. There is no facade when it comes to the water boy, but we just like to ask some fun questions and then we get to compare them. So you can go, you can see what your answers are to James White or the Doug Wilsons or the Michael Browns of the world. So, you ready to play some Fresh 10?
Let's do it.
All right, let's go.
All
All right, here we go. 10 fresh questions. Rapid fire first. Who's your favorite actor?
You know, I like Denzel Washington. I like Mel Gibson. Mm-hmm. Mel Gibson's a pretty taboo one. But I grew up on Lethal Weapon, you know, and all that.
Yeah. Yeah. Full disclosure. This always gets some people in trouble because these are very general questions and people will say a certain, actor or movie and go, they have to preface it. We understand. Listen, one of my favorite movies I watch over and over is Payback, which is an old movie from the 90s. And he just wants his 70 grand, Mel Gibson. And I think it's one of the better movies that he did. Okay. Question number two, moving right along. What do you wish you had known 10 years ago?
Oh man, that's a good question. I think I wish I would have been working a little harder on learning more about economics and how and what our country economically is doing to destroy itself.
Oh, that's good. Question number three. What three albums are you taking with you on the desert island?
Three albums. Oh, man.
Or you can just give us one, even if you give us one.
Lauryn Hill.
okay.
I'll say, he's getting out of my favorite here, but Brad Paisley, I love his country music, but I hate the fact he's involved in all this Ukrainian silly, celebrity stuff. So, Lauryn Hill,
his guitars are awesome. Yeah.
And Mumford and Sons.
Wow. That is a spread. I love it. All right. Question number four, what properties do you try to buy when you're playing Monopoly? Are you a Boardwalk and Park Place guy or do you go for those slums on the first row?
Oh man. The last time I played Monopoly was with my kids, and it's just your desires. And when you're competing, you want to pick the rich places. I don't have a good answer for that. My kids change my motivations for that game. It's more about being fun. And
all right. So, what's a movie you can watch over and over? Not necessarily a favorite, but one you can just you go, oh, it's on. I'll watch it. I don't get really tired of it.
Two movies: Hoosiers. Hoosiers.
Okay. Good.
So good. I've liked that. My dad got me hooked on that. We used to watch it before every basketball season. And then the other one is it's Jimmy Stewart, the Christmas.
Wonderful Life.
Yeah. It's a Wonderful Life. Yeah. It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah.
I almost watch it every Christmas too. And it, man, as you get older, it's amazing how much better that movie gets and how much more you appreciate it as you get older.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Question number six. The flux capacitor is fluxing. You're in the DeLorean. You jump in the time machine. Are you going back 100 years to visit your great-great-grandfather? Or are you going forward 100 years to visit your great-great-grandchildren?
Ooh, that's a tough question. I would love to go back and meet my great-grandfather because I would love to hear about my family's history and past. And then, of course, you'd love to go forward because you want to see, you know, what God – I believe God's going to bless my family to 1,000 generations, and I want to see what impact they're having on culture and society. I'd love to see that.
You got to pick one.
Ford.
Ah, I knew it. The post mill came through. No post mill has ever said back in time. I love it. All right. Question number seven. What's the best piece of advice someone has ever given you?
Two things. One is keep short accounts. Confess your sins quickly between you and your wife. Keep short accounts. That has been an invaluable principle in my marriage. And then I remember, when I was getting married, my father-in-law said to me, you need to be like an oak tree for your family. When the wind blows, you don't blow over. When the storm comes, you're an oak tree. And so you need to, read the Bible, follow God, be faithful in such a way that your roots are deepening and you're becoming a stronger oak tree over time.
Oh, that is good advice. All right. Question number eight. You're a creative guy. Are you a morning person or a night person? When do those creative juices get flowing?
I'm a night person, but my wife is more of a morning person. And so I kind of got to strike a little bit of a balance. I usually end up staying up later, but not as late as I used to. And she ends up waking up a little earlier. And then I wake up, earlier than I'd like to. So I had to split the difference. There you go.
Yeah. All right. Question number nine. What is one thing people would assume about you, but isn't true? He's thinking.
I would say, I definitely wear my emotions on my sleeve. I definitely am more on the goofy side of things. And oftentimes I kind of, I'm a joker, that kind of stuff. But I'm, I think, a little more thoughtful and theologically studied than people might think. And so
right.
that might be, I'm not a smart guy. I'm not saying I'm, you know,
no, I get what you're saying.
But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So. No, you have that persona. Okay. Last question, on cross politic, for some reason, I don't know how it happens, but you have the ability to interview for a half hour, any theologian dead or alive. Now you can't choose Christ, any theologian or scholar, dead or alive, you got a half hour on cross politic. Who are you calling in?
Man, I would obviously Apostle Paul would be my number one. He'd be my number one. But I got a Fab Five here.
Apostle Paul, do all five then. All right.
Yeah. Apostle Paul would be number one. I would love to interview Clement because he was kind of that second century leadership. Yeah. That would be really really interesting to interview. I think Constantine would be, you know, kind of third century there. And then he would be interesting with the whole Roman era and all that stuff's going on. And then Saint Nick would, you know, that's my number four, Saint Nick there, you know. Yeah. And then I think kind of more recently, probably R.L. Dabney would be probably round off my top five list.
That is an interesting five. The most interesting five I think we've ever had on the show. I like it. All right, there we go. That's Fresh 10 with Gabe French. Can we kick that one more time? Let's go. I'm fresh. I'm fresh. I'm fresh. I'm fresh. All right, Gabe, thanks for spending some time with us. Do me a favor. Throw out a little info about Fight Laugh Feast, where people can get the app or how they can sign up for it. And maybe just give us a little 30-second preview on the Fight Laugh Feast conference coming up in October.
Yeah, you can download our app. It's in the App Store, Fight Laugh Feast. Just Google Fight Laugh Feast in the App Store or Cross Politic in the App Store, and you can download our app. It's a great place to go. We're actually doing a major update to our app here in the next month. Our conference this year is at the Ark Encounter. I'm so excited about this. Room. I think Lord willing will sell out. We only got room for 2,000 people. And so get your tickets now. And we got Ken Ham speaking. We got Dr. Gordon Wilson speaking. Of course, our favorites, Pastor Wilson, Toby. We got, Joe Rigney speaking this year. Nice. That's a fun one. And, but here's the cool thing. One of the things that we want to do at these conferences, we want to make them a family experience. So we kick off the conference of Beer and Psalms. That actually happens on Wednesday night this year. Normally happens on Thursday. So this is October 11th through the 14th I'm talking about. And so Beer and Psalms kicks off on Wednesday night. And the reason why we did that is because we wanted the families to be able to have opportunity to go experience the Ark and the Creation Museum. So Ark Encounter, Ark on Thursday morning, Creation Museum on Thursday morning to Ark on Friday morning. And I only had like 20 minutes to check out the facilities when I went through, because I was making sure it was going to be a good facility for our conference. And so I got 20 minutes to walk through the Ark, and it's a 3-hour, 4-hour experience to walk through the Ark. It's a life-size replica, and it really is a historical, scientific and spiritual experience because you kind of connect with what the scriptures is talking about a little more as you experience walking through the Ark, going up each row. Their exhibits are really good. And then, of course, the scientific implications of the Ark Encounter worldwide flood is massive to our Christian doctrine. And then the spiritual aspect to it, that you know, God judges and God saves. Yeah. And so I'm actually pulling – my kids are actually – they've never gone to a conference with me yet because they're always in school and being homeschooled being at school at Logos. And so we're actually pulling them out of school, and they're going with me to the Ark Encounter because I want them to experience – that Ark Encounter. There's an interview with me and Pastor Toby interviewing Ken Ham. And I kind of jokingly, you know, because Ken Ham raised $100 million to build the Ark. Wow. And it was a lot of money. And I kind of jabbed him a little bit. And I said, hey, why'd you waste $100 million on wood to build this ship, to build this boat? I called it a boat. To build this boat. And he said, you know, we get about 1.5 million visitors a year to the Ark Encounter out in middle of nowhere, Kentucky. Yeah. And about 30% of those visitors are non-Christian. So he gets about 300,000 people a year that are not Christians coming out and experiencing the Ark Encounter and seeing this historical, scientific, gospel presentation of the scriptures.
That's awesome.
So really, and he kind of turned that around on me, and he said, you know, how many people is your church reaching every year? And I'm like, well,
yeah, true. Well, that's so cool, man, that you guys are partnering with them down there. I know the conference is going to be good. And guys, listen, for those listening, don't undersell the Fight Laugh Feast app. You know, we were talking earlier about what do we do if you're apathetic, I don't feel like I could get involved. Go sign up. Go pay these guys $5, $10, $20, $50 a month and support people who believe the way you do, who are bringing you incredible content. If you go on that app, there's just so many good things. I'm a member. I encourage each of my listeners to go check it out. Don't throw your money at a at a pagan company like Ben Shapiro and Daily Wire. We go, oh, he's a good conservative. Look at, he doesn't believe that Christ is ruling and reigning now. He's a pagan. A lot of his people, even his, gay hosts on there who are having and adopting babies and celebrating all these things. Go give it to believers that are actually changing the culture for Christ. And the Fight Laugh Feast app is a good way to do that and to sign up for a monthly subscription. So, Gabe, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate you taking time. I know you're extremely busy. You've got calls to make and meetings after this. But I'm excited to see you this October. We will be there at Fight Laugh Feast, and we'll make sure we link all this up on the website as well, too. Guys, thanks so much for listening to another episode of Dead Men Walking Podcast. We appreciate you listening, commenting, sharing with a friend. We couldn't do it without you. Our only goal is to bring glory to God. And remember, as always, the chief end of man, to glorify him and enjoy him forever. God bless. Be sure to check us out at dmwpodcast.com, where you can purchase the best and snarkiest merch on the internet, support the show, and leave us a review or message. Dead Men Walking can be found on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Dead Men Walking Podcast, and on Twitter X at Real DMW Podcast. The Dead Men Walking Podcast is part of the Fight Laugh Feast Network. For exclusive show content, be sure to download the PubDV app and become a member. If you're a business that needs to reach hundreds of thousands of potential customers in your demographic, podcast advertising might be for you. Send all inquiries to deadmenwalkingpodcast@gmail.com.
None your biscuits.